Not really. Not tonight. Can't be bothered.
What do you want to do then?
Just want to have some fun. I got us a guitar solo.
Oh, how much?
£12. Only with your consent.
Yeah, honestly, like...
A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very nice. Just because you've been exploring my mouth doesn't mean you get to take an expedition for the south, no. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice. Just because we've been playing tonsil hockey doesn't mean you get to score the goal that's in my jockey. Just because I'm in a two-man novelty band doesn't mean it's all about Boomtang. I can't go around loving everyone. I just wouldn't get anything done. You could take me out to dinner and I'd but that won't get you into fans' paradise. They call it a fire because it takes you up to heaven. Oh, oh. A kiss is not a contract, but it's very nice. It's very, very nice. I'm only one man. Baby, pretty baby, we're only two mad ladies. The babies, the pretty babies. Na na na, come on. Na na na, come on. Na 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 na, come on. Na na na, come on. Come on.
This is Angel. Welcome to Sex Talk. We're broadcasting tonight live from Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center here in Edmonton. We've got quite a show lined up for you. We've got all kinds of guests. And today we're talking about the politics of sex. Wow. And I think Rihanna and her S&M song are a really good way to lead off into that. I've got a couple guests with me right now. I have Ray and Adam joining us here at ASPEC. And I thought I would kick it off with a little bit of information about what some research we've been doing into pornography. And what we've found is still, even with the increased sex ed curriculum, people are learning about sex from porn, regardless of what gender they are. Internet porn is now where most of us are getting our information about sex. So I'm curious if that was your experience at all.
Pretty much it. I wouldn't say even educationally, but like about development of my sexuality. So I used to just watch straight regular porn. And I thought that I was straight because the guys in straight porn creep me out.
Okay, so how come they creeped you out?
I think there is a certain, let's say, sense of aggressiveness there and a sense of not caring about the other person's pleasure that was just like on an emotional level off-putting. And that just did not resonate with me. So I was, hey, lesbian scene, this is a little bit more like people caring about each other's desires. So, you know, I enjoyed it more. And then straight porn was like very aggro and aggressive and not caring about the moment. So it always put me off. And then like erotica, it did it for me. Like gay scenes in erotica, bisexual, just anything there was, yeah, it was super hot. But that's because there was buildup. There was emotional connection there. And that, you know, worked for me. But in porn, it was like, yeah, just turn off.
I totally get that. I know I didn't actually watch real porn until I met Mark 7 years ago. The only porn I had ever seen was cartoon porn. And it's just, it's too bizarre. Like, how can you even relate to that? I saw Smurfs in porn and like the Seven Fairy Tales or whatever. Something about Felix the Cat. I don't know. Like there were, and I was like, this can't be representative of what sex is going to look like in real life. And then as an adult, I watch like spanking porn because, you know, I like spankings and that's way more identifiable. And I was appalled the first time I saw real porn because you're right. Like it's super aggressive. How about you? What was your, where did you get your sex info from? And like, not the, you know, don't have sex because your genitals will fall off and you'll get pregnant, but like the actual, what is sex?
Honestly, I actually haven't watched much porn even now. The first few videos I saw were aggressive and horrifying, and I had absolutely no interest in it. I haven't even read much erotica. Most of the porn I've looked at is furry porn, so I guess that's where I learned it.
What is furry porn like? Like, do they focus on consent, or does it have some of the same problems that we see in mainstream porn?
There's definitely the same problems, a lot of the same problems. Yeah, and it's compounded because it's like, oh, is that particular furry person actually an animal or is it sentient? We don't know. There's a lot of weird consent issues with that. So.
I hadn't even thought about that aspect.
Yeah.
So when you think about those porn messages, like, what do you think that, I mean, I'm old now, right? So I've got a lot more sexual experience, I think, than most 13-year-olds, at least, that are heading out and watching porn to figure out what sex is. Like, what do you think that does to what we think about ourselves as sexual beings when we're exposed to that kind of pornography? I mean, like, Adam, like, that was great that you brought up the angle of, I mean, if the only kind of pornography you like is same-sex porn, like, what does that do to your sense of self and who you are?
Oh God, that's a hard one. Honestly, I thought for a long time that, I mean, to get into the kink side of it, that I had to be submissive, that I had to be there for someone else's pleasure, and I wasn't really a factor. I was just kind of a hole there. But yeah, so now we're learning new things.
We're learning new things. Yay to shame-free sex ed. You looked like you had something you wanted to add to that piece of the pie there.
So the other side of that is that when you find good porn, like something I still remember, this I found this like long time ago. It's a specific scene where Nina Hartley teaches you on how to perform oral sex on someone with labia, and it was good because everything was there. It was about the pleasure of someone else. It was about communication. People cared, and it wasn't super aggressive, and that did it for me. And it's from there, I would try to track down things like that and to find porn that had more connection, had more, I don't know, just better porn. And from there, I think I learned a lot.
I had no idea there was porn that teaches you how to give oral sex to someone with labia. Where the fuck was that information when I got my first girlfriend? Because, man, I was trying to figure out what to do because her body doesn't respond exactly like mine. Hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? I can't just do to you what I like. Like, what else? Like, what else am I supposed to do? Where's that info? So after the show, I'd like to sit down with you and get that name because I think that would make an absolutely great workshop for us to put on where we take different segments from porn that you can actually learn something from. But that's like, wow. I'm floored. I had no idea. Right?
I mean, it's like anything else. You have to look for it, track it down, but there is good stuff out there. I think recently I've really just stopped, period. And part of that is because I've come to also realize that, hey, I'm getting this for free, and that's not okay. But there are things that people put out there they want you to watch for free, so that is an option.
No, absolutely. And like, when you look at that exposure, when you were first looking at porn, where it's very, I like that you called it aggro instead of just aggressive, because it just lets me know that you've played video games. But when it's like very aggro, and you're seeing that toxic masculinity being shown over and over again, like, did it make you worry about what actual sex was going to be like?
I guess to a certain extent, I think it really disconnected me from it. I was a very late bloomer for when I actually started having sex with other people. And I think that's probably part of it.
That's fair.
And I think it also kind of just created a sense in me of maybe inadequacy, or because I didn't have that aggression in me and I was not this alpha male. So that kind of turned me off, period, I guess, to a certain extent. Or, yeah.
So Ray's like laughing hysterically here. Like, you got to clue us in. What's funny there?
Adam, you can be very aggressive.
But is it toxic masculinity aggressive, or is it, no. I know you like this, so yeah, I'm going to do what you want aggressive?
It's definitely more of a connection. Like, you, yeah. I'm getting embarrassed now, but yes. No, it's definitely more of a connective thing where I enjoy this, so he does this, and it's good.
Which is, I mean, because I thought that was really interesting what you said about porn teaching you that you're supposed to be sexually submissive, and now you've learned that you're not just there for someone else's pleasure. Because it was for me, it was through submission that I discovered that my body wasn't just there for someone else's pleasure. So like, I think it has a lot to do with the context of the relationship you have with someone too, and what they bring to the table, right? But that's like, porn definitely shows a disempowerment to people that have a vagina, rather than showing them that they can give themselves to that moment and experience pleasure.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, when I came across my first few porn videos and felt like I had no power whatsoever, I actually went and did some really stupid things to try and take, you know, try and take power over myself and my own vagina. And I did some really silly things, and yeah.
No, and that's fair. And I think when I think about pornography and like some of the research that I've done, when I think about the research I've done about politics and pornography, it really looks to me like pornography has been one of the tools for politicizing those gender roles and sex and sexuality. Like, it's because there's feminist porn out there, and there always has been. Like, were you here for the Swedish night where we watched that old film from Sweden?
No, I missed that. I've
it was amazing.
I mean if you are looking for a good pornography, feminist porn is actually a very good keyword to use, because that will get you some. And it, I use the word aggressive, but like, porn can still be aggressive by that people, but frantic and passionate. It doesn't mean like a soft and gentle. I'm kind of worried about what's implied. It can still be this passionate, you know, thing.
It can be about fucking.
Yeah, it can be about fucking, but it's about connection, and that's what's missing in the art of pornography. But no, I mean, I'm of the opinion that everything is political, and I think the biggest problem is that we ignore porn because it's this taboo thing. While all other media, we have, like, you know, these standards for it. We have these connections, and things that were okay even 10 years ago are not okay in other media, but they're still okay in porn because it's this, you know, back room, keep it secret. Even like nowadays, we're kind of a little bit more liberal about it. It's still not something we discuss in public, and it's not something that's entering discussion into politics, except for like, oh, we're gonna ban it. Yeah. But no, like, just discussing, like, saying, like, hey, you know, people watch this at younger and younger ages, and what type of message are we sending with this?
Like, let's show them real bodies, and let's show them the communication that can happen, and let them hear and see that bodies actually make sounds and messes, and, you know, and that that's okay, right? Like, I think a lot of things are missing in porn. Like, if I had to make pornography knowing that someone might learn about sex with it, yeah, absolutely. I would do exactly what you're saying. And I cut in because we're at quarter past, so I'm going to take us over to a break. For those of you that have just joined us, this is Sex Talk, and we're talking about the politics of sex tonight. And we'll be...
I'm not afraid to We've got a sexual adventure for you. Three candles, all very low temperature, different colors, for an exciting, sensual experience. www.eroticcandle.com.
GTFOradio.com. Adult entertainment 24/7. GTFOradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Angel with Sex Talk, and we are broadcasting tonight right out of Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. We've been talking about the politics of sex, and I say that all excited, but I shouldn't be sounding excited because there are some really nasty politics that are wound into sex, and one of them is gender. So I thought we would take it from poor to gender. I really appreciate that you both were willing to be vulnerable enough to talk about your experiences with porn. And now joining us as well, we have Mark, who's the CEO of Alberta Sex Positive Education Community Center. And if you're curious about the kind of things we do over here, you can find us at www.aspecc.ca. We've got all kinds of sex positive programming from workshops. I think today we have an erotic wax party. That should be a whole bunch of fun. Politics and gender is like a huge topic, and definitely those gender roles are pretty predominant in porn, as Adam was talking about some of the more toxic masculine roles you sometimes see in pornography, or almost always, unless you know what to look for. I honestly think we need to do a whole show, Adam, where you can just educate us on what kind of porn to go and look at. But what, when you think about those gender messages that we were taught to adhere to when it comes to how we view our own sexuality and how we express that sexuality and the problems that causes for our own pleasure, our own sense of respect, and in our relationships, like what's the first thing that pops to mind?
I think it's always a complicated issue nowadays because for the first time, we are actually starting to explore these things. We are starting to actually try to understand these things and change our behaviors. And that's an exciting time. And the thing is that you also get that kind of sense of you can like just turn around and look behind you and see the bullshit that we had to deal with just you know a few years ago. And still today, for most people... So like I said, I kind of believe that everything is political, but, gender roles and sex and in life and in every part of our, thing is still a big issue that we have to resolve. And I think it's hurting us that we haven't, that we still hang on to these stereotypes, to these outmoded ways of thinking, and it hurts every part of us. I mean, the way we've been doing things hurts men as much as it hurts women. It's having those roles, limiting ourselves to what we can do and what we force others to do is just hurts everyone. And
I feel like that deserves applause. Right? You can snap your fingers or whatever. You look like you had something you wanted to add there.
No.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, right? What we're talking about is how our education and the way we're taught about sex combined with the politics of sex, right? So like the keeping that status quo requires that we buy into that gender binary and all those rather bizarre, I always try to find a word that actually sums up how we feel about gender roles, but like it's such fairy tale stuff. But it really impacts the way we look at ourselves, our pleasure, our bodies, the relationships we have. Like, there's such a big topic. Like, pick any spot and go from there.
Oh, gosh. Well, like I mentioned before, porn made me feel like I should be submissive, but porn also made me feel like I should be more feminine. So for most of my, you know, junior high and high school life, it was the makeup, the skirts, the all of that, and... Only just now, I'm finally coming into that more masculine, tomboy-ish side that I was ridiculed a lot for. And at this point, you know, I'm going by they, them. I'm non-binary. I'm, you know, considering becoming a lot more masculine than I used to be, which is very strange. And that kind of comes into, you know, discovering my own sexuality and all of that. I'm not a submissive. I am mostly a top. I'm me, and that's okay. And even though people look at me funny and get my gender wrong a lot, and yeah, at this point I'm just kind of fuck everybody else and what they think. I'm just gonna be me.
Yay! You know, we were talking a lot here. Like, I really identified with what you'd said, Adam, about how things have changed so much. And Mark and I have had lots of conversations about how it feels like that to us because of what we do here at ASPEC and because of our involvement with other organizations that, like us, are really
gender affirming. Like they're, and I don't mean like affirming the toxicity of stereotypes, but like however you feel inside about yourself, like we want to support that. And I'm not sure that things have changed in the general population as much as I would like to see, but I'm glad that those, that even any change is happening. Because in my entire life, until the last 5 years, like these aren't conversations that were being had. So yay to the conversations. But I don't want anybody to think that they can just, you know, risk-free run out there now and be who they are. Like, know that, like Ray is saying, like some people just don't get it. I don't know if they're not ready to get it or if they're not ready to give up their power. But definitely gender's taking a place in there. Did you run into any things where, because of your gender, like you struggled with sexuality or the idea of relationships?
In regards to porn?
Just in regards to gender and sex.
Well, I mean, probably before I came to terms with being pansexual, then yeah, I would say that certainly there's certain gender norms there I wasn't comfortable within. I've always been comfortable in terms of presenting as masculine and whatnot, but I don't think I would have to work pretty hard to have options in that regard, I think, because I could never grow long, luxurious hair, and I can't walk in high heels, and I just don't have the hips to pull off a summer dress. Know what I mean?
I've seen you in a wig, so actually, no, I don't know what you mean. No, Mark is a very masculine of center appearing individual and happens to be utterly bald. So, of course, you all can't see that. But yeah, everybody else is like giggling their faces off here. Word for it, yeah. I know for me, I definitely, I mean, I was a lot older before I figured out that you could actually have orgasms. You know, that beginning of pleasure where you like get a little tingly. I was like, oh, that's an orgasm. And I thought that until I was like 19 years old. And it was another woman was like, yeah, no. I mean, if you're not sure that you've had an orgasm, you have not had an orgasm, and you shall get yourself to a tub and lie under that water pouring on you until it happens. And it's like, what? That best advice ever. Just saying.
Speaking of advice, I think the best advice I ever received was when I was super drunk and like really young and trying to get with someone, and they said no because I don't know what I want. So their advice was get to know your body, and when you know what you want, you know, talk to me.
That is definitely a message we need to teach people regardless of what genitals they have.
I mean, it's been a while since I've had any formal sex education, but the idea that we don't discuss masturbation as, hey, you should be doing this. This is homework. I mean, we don't want to push that too far. There are people who are just uncomfortable with their bodies for whatever reason, and that is a legitimate feeling, as all feelings are. But it's... Though I think we still are definitely trying to figure out what our sex education is, and the fact we don't discuss that is insane.
I also think that given the medical studies that are coming out regarding research on masturbation over the last, you know, 10 years or so, and how researchers now believe that it's key to, you know, maintaining prostate health, It really should probably be a part of the sex education. You know, you don't have to pitch it to teenagers in a sleazy fashion, but think of it as exercise. It's just another part of your body. It needs a regular workout kind of thing. And there's no reason, I mean, let's not discriminate against people with different genitals. So people without a prostate, you need to do this too. I'm sure there's reasons.
And everybody goes silent. Tee-hee, we said prostate on air. I think that's absolutely valid. Like teaching people that they need to take care of their bodies, including their sexual health. And that means being comfortable with pleasure. And recognizing that pleasure is going to look different for different people too, I think is a big part of it. And not by gender, right? Like that gender box isn't what makes it look different, but I know from having lots of discussions about this in the queer community in particular, because people are a little more open to talk about that kind of thing, that people with a penis experience different types of orgasms and different types of pleasure as well. It's not just, like, I know that the joke online and on TV shows is that you can never find a clitoris and who knows how to stimulate one because it's always different. But it's also true for people with a penis or a prostate. Stimulation has to be done differently. And these rigid gender roles seem to, like, lock us into this idea that if it's someone with a penis, like, don't kiss them or touch them in any way. Like, just grab their penis and start, you know, rubbing it up and down, right? And if it's a person with a clitoris, I mean, you got to rub the right nipple and then kiss their neck and then, you know, lick their clit a few times and then you can stick something in there. Like, that. Like, there's this weird checklist that seems to come with that that doesn't fit any individual I've ever spoken to about what works for their body.
It's like breaking into a safe.
I'm sorry?
It's like breaking into a safe, the pattern you just...
No, and it's... And that's... I think that's such a shame because it's another body to explore. I mean, that's just fun. Sorry, that was almost a spit take. But no, it's like, I think that's part of going back to porn because it made sexuality about, like, oh, you have to have three different positions and it's going to be like very aggressive, very large physical change of locations of bodies, and this is sex. But no, it's explore each other. It's fun and try different things and just, but yeah, because of, like I said, porn and, we just don't do that.
And you said something about big changes. It doesn't have to be big changes. Like, the slightest change in angle, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've lost my train of thought now because of you.
Certainly, though, I mean, pornography, touching back on that, creates certain standardized ideas of how to approach sex. So it always starts out with, you know, some oral and then moves into fucking in one position and then different position and then maybe back to oral and then a little bit more fucking and then blam, you know, finish on their face or whatever. Because that's how love works. And, you know, given that your average porn can be anywhere from 5 minutes to 45 minutes in length, that probably confuses a lot of young adults too, because, you know, with first time you rub one out, that might take half an hour to reach, you know, to explore your body enough to understand what feels good and what doesn't. You reach the goal, next time you're going to be a little bit more efficient, whatever the case may be. Not giving kids the privacy to explore their own body as they're moving through puberty also puts a lot of time pressure on them, so they start getting into that mindset of rubbing one out real quick. And that, you know, so they don't get caught or whatever the case may be. When they actually start engaging in sexual relations with a partner, the situation's totally different and they don't have a proper idea of how to approach that, most likely. Because, again, porn doesn't really touch on that education, relationship building, being a generous lover, not the focus of most porn. And, then you just throw these kids in the deep end the first time they hook up and it's like, okay, hope it goes well for you.
And unfortunately, I think that's where that orgasm gap comes from, right? Because in pornography, it always finishes with somebody ejaculating. And while the person who has a clitoris is screaming their orgasm, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that those orgasms are very fake 99.9% of the time. So, like, really confusing, I think, for a lot of people. We have to go to a little bit of a break. This is Sex Talk. We're broadcasting out of ASPEC, which is Alberta Sex Positive Education Community Center. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some actual politics regarding sex and what that looks for us right now in this type of a climate. So hope you stick with us and enjoy that show.
There's no way I'm turning back. Oh, 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 oh. Now the pain is
Sex with me so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station. Sex with me so amazing. Sex with me so amazing. Things I cannot mention. Oh, na na na, five fingers on it, five fingers. Hit it like you want it, I may hit it like I'm on it. Straight shots to the blue dot, shot, 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 shot. Baby, I'ma pick a poison. Ooh, yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Na na, you gon' need it. I'm off that la la. I'ma get it wet like jacuzzi. Yeah. And sex with me so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. My Instagram, pure temptation. Sex with me, sex with me, sex with me. Feel alright. Sex doesn't get any better. Make it long, let it be all night. I know I make it hard to let go. Tonight, all night, I'ma roll. Even if I'm alone. Sex with me so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Nigga like a station.
Attention seniors, did you know that sex without a condom can get you all kinds of lovely gifts like gonorrhea and syphilis? And even oral sex requires a barrier in order to prevent these very awful STIs from being transmitted from one person to another. Make sure you've got your condoms and barriers and use them wisely.
Rub. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Circle jerk girls who spray. We got a male in the middle and we bukkake. I'm feeling good on an edible. I'm out if the hole is forgettable. drug. One pass 'em, thumb blast 'em, fun ask 'em, numb flask 'em. One pass 'em, thumb blast 'em, fun ask 'em, numb flask 'em. Suckle jerk girls, we play. Another male in the middle, so come on, let's spray. I'm feeling good, no incredible. I'm out just to see if it's gettable. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Feel free.
Feel free.
Come with me.
Come with me.
Peachy. Can't talk right now. This chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now. This chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now. This chick's dick is in my mouth. Can't talk right now. This chick's dick is in my mouth. Rise for me. 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 Can't talk. Bitch, rub.
Hey, hey, this is Angel with Sex Talk. You're listening to us broadcasting live out of Alberta's Sex Positive Education and Community Center. You can find us at www.aspecc.ca. We do all kinds of sex positive programming, from workshops on consent to how to stimulate a clitoris to tonight, I think we have a blacklight erotic wax party. It's all good. I am sitting here with Adam and Ray and Mark, and we've been talking about the politics of sex. And speaking of politics of sex, man, there's a lot of politics going on against sexual rights right now. I was really shocked to watch our province go down the same path we're watching our neighbors south of the border go down, where they're supporting government individuals and groups that do not believe that humans have the right to their own bodies, to engage in the kind of consensual sexuality that has meaning for them. And I'm appalled and shocked. And we have an election here in Alberta April 17th. Like, it's coming up really quickly. And a lot of the problems are that we have a very polarized system, where you only really have two groups to consider and one candidate for each of those groups. And the one, he who shall not be named, is racist. He's misogynistic. I don't know if he's actually those things, but his actions certainly demonstrate that he supports the idea that queer people shouldn't be allowed to marry or even be queer, that people with a vagina shouldn't have access to appropriate reproductive health care, that people of color shouldn't have as much financial or political power as people who are white. Like, I mean, it's absolutely appalling to me. And I know you've been doing a lot of work sharing the message that people need to really use their vote. Did you want to speak on that?
I am working with a campaign who is fighting against he who shall not be named. And I've always voted left and progressive a few times, maybe a little bit more centrist because of where the votes lie. But recently, with the way things are going, it's scary. I truly believe that there is no sidelines anymore. To sit on the sidelines at this point is a political act, because you are saying that, hey, this is not going to affect me or anyone I care about, and I'm just not going to care. And that in itself is a political act.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for most of my voting life, I didn't vote. And I thought, you know, one vote doesn't matter. You don't have a voice. It's not going to count. But at this point, I mean, I care. I'm keeping up with the news and all of that. And it's fucking terrifying. And I'm voting.
And it's probably, I mean, worth harping on an old point here that neutrality sounds like an admirable trait, but it really just enables the people who are pushing a more oppressive agenda, because there aren't enough voices saying, you know, F off, we don't want any of that here. And voting with your personal ethics and morals rather than worrying about the party that you necessarily have traditionally held allegiance towards, I mean, is a good first step towards getting the people who agree that, you know, humans are humans, regardless of who they are or what their proclivities are. Gets the right people in office, let's say.
At least we can hope. I remember, does anybody else remember, like, the Bedford case that went to Supreme Court about sex work? Right? And that was, like, during Harper's government. Carla Bedford is a dominatrix out of, I can't remember, Ontario or Quebec, like, somewhere.
Ontario, I'm pretty sure.
Ontario, maybe. And this whole issue went before the Supreme Court, saying that because sex work in Canada traditionally and historically has been legal, like, it has never been illegal to sell your body in exchange for money, right? Like, that's always been a thing, but everything around it was criminalized. So if you ran a bordello, that was illegal. If you were the driver picking them up, you're living off the avails of prostitution, so that was illegal. Like, everything was geared around this idea that we'll make it so hard to do that people can't do it safely, and that was the idea that went through to court. And the Supreme Court said, like, this doesn't line up with our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Like, either you have to find a way to make sex work illegal, or you have to rewrite these laws. So the Harper government at the last minute made this Safer Streets and Communities Act, which I really encourage you to go and read, in which they criminalized even further anything to do with sex work under the guise of protecting us helpless folk with vaginas from what they insist is trafficking and exploitation, regardless of what the context is. So, I mean, if I decide that that's what I want to do for extra money, I'm being exploited, even if there's nobody else benefiting from it but me. And that's, like, really problematic. And we're actually seeing, like, more arrests happening of people who are trying to purchase sex work, and not necessarily because it's exploitive sex work. Like, it's, I mean, the police are phrasing it as if it's exploitive. And, like, to me, like, that is a real measure of the degree of control a government can have over a person's body, to be able to say that they're going to arrest people who are paying sex workers. Just throwing that out there.
No, it's something that actually I really concerns me. And I think it's so unreasonable, because it is a very good intention of preventing trafficking, of preventing abuse, of preventing slavery, and it's being misused. Slavery is illegal, trafficking is illegal, kidnapping is illegal. We have laws to protect workers, except those laws don't apply to sex workers. And that's the problem. The problem isn't that, oh, selling sex will lead to trafficking. It's because sex work is illegal, that means trafficking can enter it. If you have, hey, an inspector comes down to your brothel, because it's perfectly safe, it's perfectly legal, and says, hey, can I see your books for a second? The illegality goes away real quick because you can't hide that anymore. If you have legal sex work, people can go like, hey, I was just there and something really squigged me out. I don't think the person I was with wanted to be there. But if it's a crime, you can't do that because you are just admitting to a crime.
Yeah. It's like super problematic, and it really ties into the control over sexuality that many politicians are exercising. And right now, he who shall not be named has already made it very clear that should he get into power, that people with vaginas will no longer have access the way we do now to options like the morning after pill, abortions, and even some like proactive methods of birth control. And that horrifies me. Like, it absolutely horrifies me. Even now, like, we don't get free birth control unless you meet certain requirements and know how to access that program. I mean, Alberta, you can go to the sexual health clinics and to places like Compass. I'm not too sure what's in Calgary. I'd have to check, but Aspush probably has a list of places. And you can access some help with birth control methods. But, like, we have to let people have control over what happens to their bodies. Like, that, it's absolutely astounding that in this day and age that that's even a question.
No, I feel like even uncomfortable discussing this because, in my opinion, like, I don't have these body parts. This is none of my business. But I want to be supportive of people who want to take control of their own bodies because I think that's a good thing. Weird, huh? But yeah, it's such an important thing, and it's such an important thing that we take a look at these things and realize how they grow into much larger problems. It's about recognizing all members of society. And even if you don't care, it's none of you, like, nothing that affects you personally, just remember, like, the more people are included in society, the more they're able to contribute. Because that's what people really want to do, is contribute to society. And the more we grow, the more benefits we get from that. And having rights for everyone is always having rights for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to note, too, like, I'm harping on about the rights of people with vaginas, but we know that line of thinking leads into what happens to people that are on hormone treatments. What happens to our trans youth that are on puberty blockers? Like, do you think they're going to stop at the idea of, oh, you just have to be a baby making machine? Like, they're not going to stop there. Like, there's already indication of some pushback against the GSAs, against the idea that our youth need to have those supports in place in order to build their resilience. Like, I can't imagine where this is going to go. I really hope that people out there that are trying to figure out where they're going to vote think about the actual impact to human beings if that despicable party gets into power. Dead silence in the room. Yeah, let's not think about it too hard today. We want to not have nightmares.
Sorry, because I kind of hope some people do have nightmares, because the right people, if you are already of the ones who are going to be affected by this, sorry. I think we can see where this is eventually going. We had an attack by an incel in Canada. And this is what is going on here. It's not just about, like, these programs don't cost that much in the long run. It's not about the money. It never is. It's about power. People who have felt powerless are starting to get a little bit taste of power.
Go ahead, Ray. I can see you're going to jump in there.
Actually, it is about money. I mean, when you think about it, the amount of money to prevent an unwanted pregnancy or an STI or something is minuscule compared to, you know, forcing someone to keep a baby they don't want, sending out for adoption, putting it in, you know, homes, then the supports they're going to have as an adult for the way they've been brought up. It's, It's astronomical. It's just, it's so fucking simple. Just, I don't know, I'm just getting really upset now.
So I have to rein us in because we are at the end of our hour. I want to send a huge thanks out to all of you for coming out and contributing to this conversation. It is a really big topic, and we're not going to solve it here in 1 hour on a radio show, but I hope we gave you enough food for thought that you're going to get out there and research your decisions, and wishing you all a sex-positive night. We're going to be playing with wax here at Aspect, so I know we're going to have a good night. Hey, thanks for listening. This is Sex Talk.
Let's take some calls from the request line. Caller number one.
Hey, man, what's up? This is Dominique from Say No Trailer Park.
What's up, Dominique?
I want that song for the show, Pete Pablo.
All right, I got that coming right up for you. Now, shout out the radio station that gave you what you wanted.
W Boom Boom B, baby. What's it doing
from the front?
What's it doing
from the back?
Been breaking
down like that.
Earring in the tongue, and she know what
she
it
know
do.
What it do.
Make a name for herself, and she do her shit well. And know how to keep a bitch and keep herself. Come over anytime, nigga, call chick. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and she right there.
Right there.
And she know why she came here.
She know
and she know where her clothes supposed to be.
Off and over there.
Sniff a little coke, take a little X, smoke a little weed, drink a little bit. I need a girl like a freak with. The way I try shit, and ain't scared of a big dick. Love to get a pussy lick. Buy another bitch, cause I ain't drunk enough to do that. Shamika, Keisha, Tara, Shonda, Sabrina, Crystal, Dorana, Reza, Felicia, Tanisha, Siobhan, Regale, Monique, Christina, Yolanda. I need to know a whole lot that can teach me wrong. Need a ding dong, take her tongue and take her the ball. I'm spoiled.
And now I ain't worried at all.